Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Larissa. Very touching piece of music, isn't it? Glorious. And I love the fact we can have that kind of art music today. And last week we had the Beatles and so on. Such a wonderful eclectic mix of music. And music is so powerful, isn't it, in bringing forth energy and power into the universe, yeah? I'm also happy for the new screen, though the clunk at the end is a little... I think we're working out the glitches, folks. That won't happen forever, but I guess it's a satisfying clunk. You know, we know that it's got home and it's doing good. We're also going to dress up the bottom a little bit with some drapes so that we don't see all that business end. But it definitely looks better, doesn't it? We can see it much more clearly. So thank you. Thank you to all those people that donated money for that. The new projector's in, the screen's in. The third thing we're going to get is a new computer for upstairs in the sound booth up there, so that'll complete the project. So that should happen in the next couple of weeks, I think. So we're at the beginning of a three-part series on ways God acts in the universe, the nature of God, how we approach God. And the first week is the way of affirmation, or the affirmative way, the idea of God as pushing out into the universe everything, right? The creative power of God, the affirmative yes of the universe. Next week, we'll look at the opposite, the way of negation. And I told Wendy this was going to be the title, and she said, how many people do you expect to show up next week? The way of negation. But it's not negation in the sense misery. It's negation in the sense emptiness, right? Before you could fill your cup, it has to be empty, right? So another aspect of God is spaciousness and emptiness into which the fullness can come. So today, because I want to talk about the feminine aspect of givingness, I want to focus on fullness. So that's today. But then next week we'll look at the power of emptiness, because it's a wonderful power of God too. And then the third week is the marriage of the two together to create balance in our lives. Fullness and emptiness, the dance of them. We do it every day. When we make our coffee in the morning, there's a dance of emptiness and fullness, right, in your cup. And so it's the same idea. You need both. Just as you are what? Are you a particle or are you a wave? Yes. We are both, right? And yet we're more than those two. We have the possibility of being both without being limited to either. And that's the mystery of God in creation. Here's the question. Why did God create the universe? Any idea? I mean, God was presumably fine. You know, God was God. He didn't have to create anything. So why did God, the unknowable, the mystery that we could never get our heads around, why did God decide to bring all this into being? Somebody said, why not? Yeah, I guess, why not? Why not? For company, all right. God was kind of lonely and needed some company. You know, I think the reason that he did it for me is that God created everything from that ardor, that desire, that love, in order that that creation could eventually remember the truth of its nature and come back to God. See, so in that recognition, God gets to see God again, yeah? When his creation remembers the truth, then it reflects it back, right, and gives thanks to God. Isn't this why all the great worshippers who are broken through come to that recognition? You know, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. I remember who I am. And God delights in this, right? The energy that creates delights in the fact that creation remembers the truth of its being. Yeah? So that's our work on planet Earth, really, right? Not to mess around doing all this stuff that we have to fill our minds with and our days with, but to remember the joy of existence, right? Mirror that back to God. It's the affirmative impulse of the universe. It's the impulse that says, yes. In the Hindu tradition, the image is God breathes out, right? And that breathing out lasts for billions of years. And then eventually when God's breathed out the whole thing and it's come to fruition, God then breathes in again and everything disappears. And then we get another creation, right? So at this present time, thank goodness, God is breathing out. Where are we told we've got another 5 billion years for the sun before it decides to degrade? Yeah. So eventually we're going to have to do something about that, you know, because it's not going to, nothing is sure forever, right? It's totally unfolding. But we got 5 billion years to think about it. Not to worry right now, okay? You've got a few more years to be in that breathing out. But if you think about the Big Bang, where out of tiny nothingness came forth everything, it's very similar to breathing out, isn't it? And the universe, according to the physicist, is infinitely expanding and unfolding, right? So it fits in with the premise of the Hindus. The ancient Hebrews knew this, right? What was the first thing God said? Let there be light. Let there be, and there was. Because it's the great affirmative impulse. Now, this isn't just about God, it's about us. And I'll explain why in a little bit. Because that same energy that God creates in creation, the energy, the Shekinah, the Shakti power of God, right? That energy of love, that substance of love is in us, right? Because it's the nature of who we are. And therefore, we can co-create. We literally create our own reality, don't we? Yeah? How many people believe that? How many people think that's a load of codswallop, as we say in Britain? No, we definitely create our own reality, because if you want to live in a miserable world, the world will cooperate with you and make it miserable, right? But if you choose to be creative and work with the infinite possibilities of God, God will create a magnificent universe for you. It's already magnificent, by the way. It's just we choose not to see it that way, yeah? It's already loaded in the direction of good, because God only makes good things, right? So listen to this this quote from probably the oldest scripture ever written. It's at least 7,000 years old. It may be older than that. It's called the Rig Veda. And it comes out of the Hindu tradition. But it's really, it's mankind's scriptures. You know, I don't like to think of this Christian scriptures and Buddhist scriptures and Hindu scriptures. There is just the endeavor of us all as human beings, yeah? And so this is my scripture and your scripture, as well as somebody who lived in India 7,000 years ago. But it's the creation hymn. Listen to this. And you've got to get your head around conundrums in order to understand it. It says, there was not then what is. There was not then what is, nor what is not. There was no sky, no heaven beyond the sky. What power was there? Where? Who was that power? Was there an abyss of fathomless waters? Sounds like the Old Testament, doesn't it? There was neither death nor immortality then. No signs were there of night or day. The One was breathing by its own power in infinite peace. Only the One was. There was nothing beyond. Darkness was hidden in darkness. The all was fluid and formless. Therein, in the void, by the fire of fervor, arose the One. And the One, and in the One arose love. Love, the first seed of the soul. The truth of this, the sages found in their hearts. Seeking in their hearts with wisdom, the sages found that bond of union between being and non-being. There's a lot in there, isn't there? Contemplate that for a while, but I want to take those three lines. Therein, in the void, by the fire of fervor, arose the One, and the One arose, and in the One arose love. That's the creative process, right? God was just doing his God thing, being the One, having a nice sleep, just breathing gently, and then there arose the fire of fervor, right, of ardent desire. Isn't that how everything comes into being, right? Every piece of poetry or art or music was created by fervor, right? Everything we do that we do well, you know? I'm cooking a cake. I've got fervor. Why have I got fervor? Because I know I'm going to enjoy it after it's baked and I'm going to eat it, right? There's a desire there that it's going to be good. So from the cake to the most sublime piece of music, and from God's creation, there is always that key of ardor, isn't there? I love the word ardor, actually. It's a deep, abiding desire to see something brought forth, yeah? You with me here? I could get excited, about this. In the void, by the fire of ardor, by the fire of fervor, by the fire of love wanting to be made manifest, right? By the very substance of God being poured out. It's the feminine energy, isn't it? It's there from the beginning. It's wise. It knows. It's deeply intuitive, right? Can I get something off my chest? Okay, we were doing the wedding, and we passed the church, and on the sign it said, women who fear the Lord will be graced by love or something. I thought, women? What about I? What about men? You know, everybody that fears the Lord. We single out women. Oh, it's Mother's Day, so we're going to single out women here, you know. Please. Okay, I got that off my chest. I mean, get real. I mean, women have been abused and put down for millennia, you know. And the last thing we want to do is continue that, right? We want to lift women up. And listen to this first line from Ecclesiasticus, or sometimes called the Book of Sirach, because it talks about the wisdom of the Lord, the substance, the shakti, the energy of the Lord, the feminine energy within God, because the feminine energy that creates, right? I mean, that's how we all hear. Okay, men had a little something to do with it, but not much. Mostly it's 9 months of miracle going on in here to create, or not in here, but you know what I'm saying. In there. Let me just read the scripture. It says, all wisdom is from the Lord. She dwells with him forever. Wow. So the feminine energy is right there. It's the part of the creation that is the fervor and the ardent desire that's pushed out, the substance of love. All wisdom is from the Lord. She dwells with him forever. Who can count the sands of the sea, the raindrops, or the days of unending time? Who can measure the height of the sky, the breadth of the earth, or the depth of the abyss? Wisdom was first of all created things. Wisdom was first of all created things. Intelligent purpose has existed from the beginning. To whom has the root of wisdom been revealed? Who has understanding of her subtlety? One alone is wise, the Lord most terrible, seated upon his throne. It is he who created her, beheld and measured her, and infused her into all his works. Listen to that. So the feminine creative impulse of substance of love is infused, right, into all his works. That's powerful. To everyone he has given her in some degree, but without stint to those who love him. And that's true, isn't it? The more we, what's the golden key? Take your mind off the problem, put it on God. The more you put it on God, the more you magnify the good, right? The more energy and power you are attracting, the substance of love around you. And the more, therefore, you are effective in your life. But if you insist on negating that by only thinking separative thoughts or worries about the future or whatever it might be, you're not doing God a favor, and you're not doing yourself a favor. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, backs this up in his writings. He says this. He says, just as God has been from the beginning, so spirit substance has been from the beginning. Well, spirit substance is just another name for this energy we're talking about, this feminine energy, right? In order to create the universe, God creates love and energy, the fervor, the ardency. This is how we create anything, with fervor and ardency, right? Just as God has been from the beginning, so spirit substance has been from the beginning. This substance is, in fact, the mother side of God. The feminine element in God's nature. It is the universal medium in which we plant all ideas of supply and support. Just as the earth is the universal matrix in which all vegetation develops, so this invisible spirit is the universal matrix in which ideas of prosperity germinate and grow and bring forth according to our faith and trust. Wow. There's a formula for this, okay? This is why it's practical in our lives today. The formula is this: idea projected into substance with trust and faith brings forth results, right? So God had an idea. What was the idea at the beginning of time? I think I'll create the universe. He clothed it in the substance of his desire to do that, the energy around that. I'm getting excited about this. We're going to create the universe. Whoa! And out of that, knowing it was going to be good, trusting it completely, boom, there it came, right? We could do the very same thing then, yes? You have to create an idea, think an idea that you would like to see made manifest, and with trust, bathe it in the substance of love, bathe it in energy and power, right? In possibility thinking, in the creativity. Sometimes it takes 9 months. If you've got an idea as big as an elephant, it's going to take 3 years. But it doesn't matter how long it takes to gestate. It's going to come forth. Now, the thing about God can do it in the twinkling of an eye. The Big Bang happened in a split millisecond, didn't it? It went from nothing to the size of immensity in just less than we could blink. But, you know, that's God. So if it takes us a little longer, that's okay. We're still catching up to what it means to be alive. But Jesus, I think, could heal instantaneously for the simple reason that he was one in his identification with God. So there was no time anymore for him. He could do it. Yeah? But be easy on yourself if you're not up to speed. So what is the idea? It could be an idea for you the rest of your life, or it could be an idea for this week, right? But if you want to see it made manifest, clothe it in ardent fervor in the substance of God, trust it, and it will come forth into actuality, yeah? Does this make sense? Know what I'm talking about? Because if we're spending all our time anywhere else, we're not clothing it with substance. We're clothing it with not possible, right? And why would we do that? And yet we sabotage ourselves, don't we? Like we said earlier, you know, we'll insist the world's going to hell in the handbasket. Is it getting better or is it getting worse, the universe, the world? Some people say it's getting worse, you know, but that's your choice. I think it's getting better. And they tell us that there's less wars now. You wouldn't believe that if you watch the media, right? Because the media focuses on all the negative. So we have to discern wisely and know. And it's always been the end of the world, isn't it? I mean, you know, I'm always waiting for those people that are telling me it's, you know, should have ended 10 years ago. And they have to adjust their thinking then when it doesn't end, you know. Y2K, remember that? Worrying us to death over nothing, you know. Don't buy into it, right? That's the message here, isn't it? It's God's grace, by the way, because we cannot do this of ourselves. What did Jesus say? I have myself cannot do this work. It's the Father working in me that does the work, right? It's the grace of God. That's how we trust the energies within us. You can't force this to happen. You can generate the idea, and you can bathe it in your ardor and your fervor, but then it's up to God. Just as we create this zygote that starts the process in the womb, right? But then what do? Well, we try and live healthily, but we don't control any of that. It happens miraculously through the forces of God's energy and power, right? And guess what? God clothes the baby in energy, right? Continually gives Shakti, or energy, the wisdom, the perfect unfolding until it comes forth as a lovely child, right? And that means all of us, because we all went through that process. Can anybody remember any of that? You remember coming down the birth canal? Some of us can. Some of us were screaming. Some of us were laughing with joy. But the choice is ours, right? I want to read from another Hindu scripture. This is one of the Upanishads. And again, I think that some of these great hymns and scriptures of this tradition are some of the most noble things that human beings have created, yeah? And therefore, they're worthy of our contemplation. I love this one. It said, the wife loves the husband, not for the husband's sake, but for the sake of the spirit that is in the husband. The husband loves the wife, not for the wife's sake, but for the sake of the spirit that is in the wife. Children are loved, not for the children's sake, but for the spirit that is in the children. Wealth is loved, not for wealth's sake, but for the sake of the spirit that is in wealth. The universe is loved, not for the sake of the universe, but for the sake of the spirit that is in the universe. Everything is loved, not for its own sake, but for the sake of the spirit that lives in it. This spirit has to be realized. Hear about this spirit and meditate upon it. When you hear about the spirit, meditate upon the spirit, and finally, realize the spirit. When you do this, you can come to understand everything in life. Wow. It's the ultimate in taking your mind off all the distractions, isn't it? And placing it on the truth, right? God as energy made manifest, as the substance of God poured forth, clothing ideas and creating wonderful things. So, what are you going to take home today from what we talked about? Because it's kind of, whoa, these are big subjects. So how can we make it practical? What are we going to do in our lives as a result of what we've heard in this? Beautiful scripture from the Bible from Charles Fillmore. What one thing? Fervor. You're going to be fervent, aren't you? You're going to surprise John. Whoa, she's fervent this week. Good. Well, you were very fervent in a beautiful way in that song. You know, you put forward that very tender song very beautifully. So thank you for that. You're already evidencing fervor. And ardor. Affirm the good, you know. Whatever the good you can see, affirm that. Minimize everything else. Because you want to affirm the yes of the universe, yes? You want to be part of that. Yeah, maybe. It's been going on for so long. How long has it been going on now? It's like a year already. How long does it take to, you know, elect a president, for God's sake? I think we'd do it in a couple of months, couldn't we? No, you can't. That's a good point, Wendy. You cannot turn this stuff off, right? Because it's going to come at you in some way or another. You know, maybe you can temporarily turn the TV off and pretend it's not there, but it's still there. We still have to deal with it. It's how we deal with it that's important, right? Do I deal with it with discernment and love and compassion, or do I deal with it with ultimate frustration and disgust? Well, frustration and disgust aren't going to help me, right? I've got to deal with it with compassion and love so that I can minimize it as a problem in my life, so I don't have to buy into it. And I can see the highest and best coming forth. Because it will, you know. Yeah, golden key. There's my key, baby. There's my key. What else we got? We can get more and more panicked as we get towards November. We can relax right now. Plenty of time to get panicky, you know. We can have a total crazy fest in September, October. Back on task now. What did we learn? What else are you going to take home? All right, we're two. Sorry. Go ahead. Celebrate it. Okay. Yeah. Because celebrating it and feeling thanks for it creates that energy and substance, right, that attracts more good into your life. Serendipitous happenings will come into our lives if we do that. Yes. And somebody else. Do what you feel led to do, right, and follow that faithfully, right, because that's the key to success, what you're led to do at any given time. And like my old teacher said, as long as it's for the benefit of all concerned. Add that to any prayer, for the benefit of all concerned, because then that cuts out ego. Because sometimes your ego will think you've got the greatest idea ever. Well, is it for the benefit of all concerned? Let me think about that. Maybe not. And if that's the answer, don't do it, right? It has to be so we can all benefit. All right, one more thing. Ask. Keep asking. Open, stay open, right? Open and teachable. So I behold the Christ in you, and I fervently, with ardor, hope that you also behold the Christ in me. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And I am grateful.